Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's time for us to break down the sporting world with Chris Goforth and Harry Douglas. Talking all things sports on a Saturday from Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
So, once again, your final score from Milwaukee. It was the Bucks 125 and the Hawks 91.
Radio 92.9 The Game. Chris Goforth in flying solo on this Saturday morning. Harry Douglas taking another week end off. I don't think he's going to be with us again next weekend either. So
must be nice.
No doubt, man. He's going ice fishing in Alaska, is what he told me. So the man's living the life right now. So hopefully Harry has a safe trip. Next weekend will be 4th of July weekend. We'll be back with you next week. I think Harry's going to be gone again next Saturday. So eventually we'll get the former Falcon back in here. Until then, we're going to keep things rolling along. We'll get to our five Falcons questions we do every week during the 11 o'clock hour, which is all about the NFL. We'll get to that coming up a little later on. Obviously, though, we're going to kick it off this morning with a look back at last night, 125-91, as the Milwaukee Bucks beat the Atlanta Hawks, and the series is now tied at a game apiece, and they're headed back here now for Game 3 on Sunday night at State Farm Arena. It was, if you watched it last night, that second quarter was probably, no, there's no probably, that was, to me, that was the ugliest quarter of basketball that the Hawks have played all season. I mean, that looked like January, February Hawks. That didn't look like May, June Hawks, right? Like, May, June Hawks have been pretty dang good. That looked like January, February Hawks going at it. Milwaukee outscored them 43-17 in the second quarter, and the game was over after that. Trae Young, to his credit now, came out after the game and said, look, those turnovers, it's on me. He had 9 of them last night. The Hawks had 19 turnovers as a team. And you just can't do that. You can't be that careless with the basketball in the NBA playoffs and find yourself down like that and then think you can come back. Let's hear from Hawks head coach Nate McMillan. Here he is. He says, we never got into the rhythm last night.
You know, they were 20 points, in fast 27 fast break points. You know, it was just really turnover after turnover. We never really got into a rhythm or was able to establish ourselves on the offensive end of the floor.
Everything just got sloppy last night for the Hawks. And Milwaukee did pretty much whatever they wanted to do. And you knew going into last night, you knew you were going to get their best shot. You knew they were going to get their best effort. And Milwaukee brought some energy last night that they didn't have in game one. And I thought the Hawks looked flat. Now, again, I understand this is a Hawks team that had won back-to-back road games. That's hard to do in the NBA playoffs, especially when one of them is a game seven, to propel you where you've only been once previously in your more modern franchise history. And then you win game one in the Eastern Conference Finals when you have never won a game before in the Conference Finals. But I'm not making excuses for these guys. But maybe they did hit a wall a little bit. I just didn't think that, you know, look, if you would have said, hey, Milwaukee's going to, you know, they'll split the two games in Milwaukee. I think as a Hawks fan, you kind of go, okay, all right, I can live with that. But I don't think any of us expected this thing to crash and burn like what we got last night from the Hawks, because that was 100% just a crash and burn situation for a team that had, I mean, they just looked flat. I thought Portis brought energy off the bench for Milwaukee when he came in that second quarter. And this Hawks team, they've kind of been that Energizer Bunny type team all year. And they were not able to match Milwaukee from an energy or an intensity level from that second quarter on. And Milwaukee ended up, they led by as many as 21 points. And they pretty much did whatever they wanted to in that game. I mean, all the things that we talked about going into this series about, here's what you don't want to see happen, right? You don't want to see Milwaukee to get in transition, because Giannis in transition is too much. And that's what happened last night. You wanted the Hawks to be able to use their smaller size to their advantage and get a guy like Brook Lopez, who was totally a non-factor in game one, to get him back to be, for him to be a non-factor in game two and get that dude off the floor. Last night, I thought, you know, Lopez was tremendous. First quarter, Milwaukee hit 7 out of 12 threes. Lopez hit, I don't know, at least one or two threes in that opening quarter. And, you know, so far in this series, the officials have kind of opened it up. They've let these guys play. I don't think either side can really complain too much about the officiating. They missed calls last night. I mean, they missed calls. They missed it on both sides. You know, Marv and Reggie pointed that out on TV last night a couple of times, where there were some, you know, a couple of out-of-bounds plays that should have went the opposite way. But for the most part, you can't really blame too much of this on the officials. I like that, by the way. I don't like it when officiating becomes the story, certainly in a postseason event. I just don't like that. So, again, I don't think you can complain too much about the officiating, because they have called it the same way for both sides, and they've done so by basically not calling anything to a degree and letting these guys play. So that's I think that's the way, you know, so far at least through games one and two, that's the way this thing has looked, is let these guys play. Let them go. And Milwaukee gets on that 20-0 run last night over 5 minutes, and they blow this game open. And the Hawks are missing open shots. Just doesn't look good. Didn't look good at all. Glad to have you with us this morning here, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chris Goforth solo on this Saturday morning. No Harry Douglas. Harry, you'll be back not next week, but hopefully in 2 weeks. We talk a little Hawks. We're going to get some of your calls coming up a little bit later on this morning. We go all NFL during the 11 o'clock hour. We'll talk a lot about the Falcons. We do our NFC previews every week. So this week we're talking about the New Orleans Saints. So we'll talk some Saints football and give you a little preview of what's going on there without Drew Brees. We'll do that about an hour and 10 or so minutes from now. So looking forward to that. I did want to be able to get to a couple of positives today with the Hawks. And you got to kind of look for some silver linings here in what was just a dreadful night of Hawks basketball. But a couple of positives. Cam Reddish got back in the game. That was good to see. I joked working with Andy Bunker or working for Andy Bunker this week on the midday show. Andy's been on vacation. Hope Andy and the fam had a great time traveling out west. But Sarah Spencer was with Randy McMichael and I this week, and I joked with Sarah that she had it was in her contract that every radio appearance she made on 92.9 The Game, she was contractually obligated to answer a Cam Reddish question, because we all get Cam Reddish questions all the time. When is Cam coming back? When is he going to be available? When can he play? Well, we finally got our answer last night. Cam Reddish got back in the game. It was the first time in 4 months that Cam Reddish has appeared in an NBA game. He ended up playing 17 minutes last night. He scored 11 points. It was a 4 of 10 shooting night. Look, he looked rusty. There's no doubt, especially early on. The rust was definitely there, but our producer, Ken Roundtree, sent me a text last night and said, look, longer this guy plays, the better he looks. And I think Ken made look, that's a good point. I thought Cam did, once he made a couple of shots, started to get a little more comfortable. He looked a little more comfortable out there. And I thought he played better the longer that he was on the floor. So if there's one positive, we saw Chris Dunn last night. I've said all along, going back to the Knicks series, that if he's healthy, I'd like to see Chris Dunn, only because we know how important defense is in the NBA playoffs. And that's what Chris Dunn can do. He is a defense-first guy. So, again, seeing Chris Dunn get in the game, seeing Cam Reddish get in the game, that was good. If you're going to find your silver lining, now hopefully this means we're going to see more of Cam. Maybe they get back to Atlanta. I would assume they flew out of Milwaukee last night, so those guys are back in town. I would expect there's going to be some film study, some adjustments, some game planning going on today. Probably not going to play 5-on-5, but it sure would be good to get Cam out there and get him a little bit of work in, because with Bogey having the bum right knee, the right knee soreness. We don't really know what that means, by the way, right knee soreness. You got Joel Embiid out there on a torn meniscus scoring 40. Bogdanovich has a sore right knee. But he's clearly not the same guy right now because of this injury. He's not playing as effective as he has been. His shot looks, it doesn't look like he's able to get the, what do you want to call it, use his legs to shoot, right? Remember that? If you played basketball, you're taught to use your legs when you shoot. It doesn't look like he's got that when he goes to shoot. So maybe this means more minutes for Cam Reddish going forward. We'll get into that coming up. So the one thing you can't do, though, if you're the Hawks, the one thing, and we're going to get some headlines here in a minute. We'll talk about this game. Good night last night for the Braves. Thank goodness they won, or it'd be a really depressing morning. But the one thing you can't do if you're the Hawks is you cannot allow the Bucks to beat you twice in one night. And what I mean by that is you cannot allow the crap that went on last night to carry over again into game three. You can't let the struggles last night bleed over to game three at home. You got to leave that mess on the tarmac in Milwaukee. Leave it there. Forget about it. Have a short memory. Come back here and be ready to go. Because whatever happened last night, it's done. It's over. You put it behind you. You cannot let it hang on or drag on. And I think that's a little bit of a worry. This Hawks team has been as mentally tough, I think, as any team in the NBA. Certainly, I think they're still the most mentally tough team that's left in these playoffs. So if there's any team that can shake it off, like Taylor Swift says, shake it off and get it back together again for tomorrow night, they would be the team that could be able to do that. That's a rarity because they're such a young team, and that's always the worry, I think, with a young team is, God, what if they let that linger too much? But here's the thing, and I think we can all take a little bit of solace in this. If you're the Hawks, if you're the Hawks, you can take a little bit of solace in the fact that you're probably not going to be as loosey-goosey with the basketball again as you were in game two. You're probably not going to make 19 turnovers. Trae Young's not going to make 9 of them again. So I think you can take a little bit into that. And, you know, for as bad as they were in game one, Milwaukee was about perfect in game two. You figure they're probably not going to be that perfect again in game three, especially if you don't aid them in with your mistakes. And that was a lot of it last night. I mean, you talk about the injury. Injury was an issue, no doubt. Or energy was an issue last night. There's no doubt about that. But the other factor of that is the fact that the Hawks just got sloppy, just ugly. All right, we'll get to our headlines. Nice night for the Braves. We'll talk about that. Drew Smyly looked good. We'll get into that. Atlanta United in action. Also got the NBA Western Conference Finals happening tonight from Los Angeles. We'll get into all of that and a lot more. We'll hear more from Nate McMillan and Trae Young when we come back to, hang on, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
That's all on me. I got to be better at taking care of the ball and just doing a better job of just at least getting us a shot. And 9 turns is way too much, and I got to do better, and I will be better next game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chris Goforth with you on this Saturday morning. That was Hawks guard Trae Young on his performance last night. 9 turnovers last night for Trae Young. He finished with 15 points on his 6 of 16 shooting night. He continues to struggle from 3 now, just 1 of 8 last night. 15 points for him, but 9 turnovers, 9 costly turnovers. But, look, give the guy credit. He didn't pass the buck, didn't make excuses. You heard him say it, turnovers, they were on me. Milwaukee got the 125-91 win last night, says we take a look at your sports headlines on this Saturday morning, and that's where we'll start. Game two last night of the Eastern Conference Finals. Milwaukee in a blowout win, 125-91. Heck, they led by, I think the number was 41 at one point in time in that game. It was the second quarter was just brutal, and they never looked back. Really hammered the Hawks hard in the second quarter. 43-17 was the final the scoring total in the second quarter. Nate McMillan, the Hawks head coach, he said, "Look, we never got into a rhythm," and he talks about the turnovers as well. Here's Nate.
You know, they were 20 points. In fact, fast 27 fast break points. You know, it was just really turnover after turnover. We never really got into a rhythm or was able to establish ourselves on the offensive end of the floor.
That pretty much right there sums up the whole night for the Hawks. There was no rhythm. They never found any sort of there was no consistency at all. I mean, everything from the start just looked in disarray last night for the Hawks. It wasn't a bad first quarter per se, other than you knew, look, I knew it was going to be a tough night when Milwaukee jumped out to that 4-0 lead. Giannis had the first two baskets. One was an offensive rebound where he just flat out muscled the Hawks and took it back up and in. And then the second basket came off a transition. And I knew then this is not the way you want to start the game. Love it when that guy shoots jumpers, especially when he tries to shoot from outside. I mean, maybe that's something he can add to his game. Maybe he could do that in the offseason. But right now in the Eastern Conference Finals, there's no reason for that guy to ever take a shot outside the paint. And because inside the paint, he's just ridiculous. He is so good. Let's hear more from Nate McMillan from last night talking about Milwaukee picking up their pressure in this game.
Well, I think they just picked up the pressure, the intensity. They played with more sense of urgency. I didn't think Drew did anything other than stay focused on Trey, containing the ball, you know, just being right there. We got to do a better job of screening when you have that type of a pressure, on the ball. So they picked up their intensity, their pressure on the ball.
Drew Holiday's having a nice series for Milwaukee. This guy, 9 of 14 shooting last night. He finished with 22 points and 7 assists, and he did do a good job defensively. But, look, game two, it's in the books. There's nothing you can do about it. Hawks fans, we're going to get some of your calls coming up later this morning around noon today. We'll open up the phone lines. We'll give you a chance. You want to vent? We'll give you that opportunity. We can also talk about some changes that maybe the Hawks can make in this series as they head to game three. So we'll do that coming up a little bit later on, so stick around for that. It is we're going through some headlines here on this Saturday morning on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Good night last night for the Braves, though. It's good to see them get back in the win column as they beat the Reds 3-2. And how about the play last night? Did you see the highlight? If you or maybe you'd turn the Hawks off by that point and were watching it live, but Guillermo Heredia, he was the star last night for the Braves. He had a heck of a catch in center field where he chased down the ball, crashed into the outfield wall. A little scary moment there. You hoped he wasn't hurt. He wasn't. As a matter of fact, he felt good enough to be able to hit a home run later on. He hit his fourth home run of the season last night to put the Braves up 3-1. Here's how it sounded on Bally Sports.
And Heredia shoots one toward center. Aquino on his horse, still going. That's going to carry out. And all of a sudden, Tom, the ballpark is playing a whole lot smaller.
Well, look, it was a good sign last night, and I think if you're a Braves fan, and I've been looking for some hope for this team, all right? Some silver lining. So we talk about silver linings last night for the Hawks. I know, you know, okay, Cam Reddish. There we go. That's one. That may be the only one last night. But I keep looking for something because this team it's got too many guys on it that are too good for them to be as bad as what they are. Freddie Freeman had another two-hit game last night. That's a good sign because I cannot believe that Freddie's going to end this year with a .250 batting average. I just that's just not going to happen. He's too good. And at some point in time, Freddie's going to catch fire, and that average is going to start to skyrocket. We're seeing it start to creep up a little bit. Two hits last night. He is now 9 for his last 28. That's a good sign for Freddie Freeman. 9 for his last 28. Dansby Swanson went yard last night as well. Here he is hitting home run number 13 from Bally Sports.
Also played in the Cuban National Series for Pinar del Rio as this one's hit toward the gap in right center field, and that one's going to go. Line drive homer for Dansby Swanson. When he does that, that's when he's at his best, and he just extended the lead.
That solo home run by Dansby made it 2-0 Braves at that point. So, look, good night for Dansby. Good night for Freddie Freeman. Heck of a night for Guillermo Heredia. It's a good night for Ozzie Albies. He went 2 for 4. And it was good to see Ronald Acuna Jr. back in the lineup. And that back issue that had kept him out for, what, 2 games, was good to see him back. And then the Braves got a great effort last night from Drew Smyly. 6 innings, 6 hits. Allowed just the 1 run. Solid. Braves sit in third place in the National League East. They remain 5 games behind the Mets. Some point in time, you got to try to put it together. They got to start to string some either a winning streak together, or you start to try to string a some wins together, some series wins together. And now they've taken against Cincinnati. They play again today at 4:10. And then they'll play tomorrow afternoon before they come home with 3 against the Mets. It's going to be a big series. And then you go Miami here at Pittsburgh and then at Miami, and then it's the All-Star break. So there's an opportunity here for the Braves. Look, you should be able to beat up on the Marlins. If you can get through Cincinnati, you can make up some ground in the East against the Mets because every game you win is going to pull you closer. And then you've got Miami, Pittsburgh, and Miami. it's an opportunity there for the Braves to be able to pick up some space in the National League East standings. They're five games back, but a chance at least to be able to climb a little closer there. Braves Reds today 4:10 from Cincinnati. Braves need another good start from Ian Anderson. He will go today. Atlanta United, they are in action tomorrow. They take on the New York Red Bulls, 3:30. You can hear the game right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Of course, Mike Conte and Jason Longshore will have the call in that one. And then you've got the NBA Western Conference Finals that's going on tonight. That happens in Los Angeles. That will be a late start for those of us here on the East Coast. It is a 9 p.m. tip-off tonight on ESPN Eastern Time. So you get the Suns and the Clippers. Still no Kawhi, but Chris Paul is back. We'll see how Cameron Payne, what he can do, because it's been a I thought Cameron Payne, during the time that they didn't have Chris Paul, he had filled in nicely and had really become kind of a catalyst, and then to see him go down was kind of scary. But the Suns do have Chris Paul back, so we'll see what comes out of that one and whether or not the Clippers, who fell behind two games to none in that series, can they come back and even the series at two games apiece. They will try to do that this evening. Again, that is from Los Angeles, the Suns and the Clippers. Phoenix still with that 2-1 lead, but we'll see. Devin Booker has been, after a really nice, what was it, a game one? These last two games, Devin Booker has been, Patrick Beverley's done a good job on him, and he's kind of limited him a little bit in terms of his effectiveness. So game three in the West is coming up this evening. Here's what we've got coming up for you. We are going to, of course, it's our all NFL 11 o'clock hour. We'll do five Falcons questions. We'll get to that. We're going to be joined by our friend Larry Holder. He writes for The Athletic in New Orleans. We do a little NFC South preview. This is our last week of this, by the way. So we've previewed the Panthers. We've previewed the Bucks. Today we're going to get to the Saints. So the only thing left for us to do is to preview the Falcons, and we're going to do a little bit of that hopefully next week around 11:20 here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We'll talk some Saints, life after Drew Brees. We'll get to our NFL notebook. I'm excited that the NFL is going to allow alternate helmets now, which means hopefully Falcons can bring back those red helmets, and we'll open up at the 12 o'clock hour and take your calls on the Hawks last night and what you would like to see different in game number three as the series returns or comes here to State Farm Arena tomorrow night, 8:30 tip-off. And, of course, you can hear that with the voice of the Hawks, Steve Holman, here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We got a little What's the Frequency, Kenneth. Kenneth Roundtree is going to join us. We'll do that next. Chris Goforth in, flying solo on this Saturday morning, hanging out with you, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the Odyssey app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's Saturday morning. Chris Goforth keeping you company this week. Harry Douglas with another week off. I got to get Harry's contract. That's too good. All right, Harry will be back with us though a couple of weeks. I did want to get to a couple of tweets this morning, and one of them I just lost, but I can tell you it was. Hang on. If you don't follow Trey Young's dad on Twitter, Ray Young, he's a good follow. He said this was from 11 hours ago. Ray Young, you can find him at Rayford Young on Twitter. He said, "Man, the Atlanta Hawks just went from winning Game 7 in Philadelphia to flying straight to the Bucks. Let's get home, get some rest, and sleep in your own bed, and get ready to be great Sunday night. Go Atlanta Hawks. And he also said, got to take care of home court. We're good. Getting to see Cam Reddish tonight was a huge positive. I think we can all agree with some of those statements there from Ray Young. Also, want to acknowledge Randy, who has tweeted this morning. Randy said, the Hawks were trying to catch a shark standing in a Nebraska cornfield. You can't make lemonade giving away all your lemons. Still confident, still excited. Think we're all exhausted and ready for this team to come home and dominate. Hashtag Believe Atlanta. Thanks for the tweet, Randy, and I agree with you. Yeah, I mean, look, I love that. You can't make lemonade giving away all your lemons, and that's what the Hawks did last night with 19 turnovers. They gave the lemon away too much, too frequently, but I still think there's reason to be excited, still reason to be confident, but I do think kind of like what Randy said, kind of like what Trey Young's dad said, get this team home, get them a chance to rest, sleep in your own bed, and in that what should be a tremendous home court environment for Game 3 at State Farm Arena coming up on Sunday night. So Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, we like to do a little thing here every now and then on a Saturday morning called What's the Frequency? Kenneth, we turn things over to our producer, Kenneth Roundtree. Kenneth, what you got today?
Nunas. Maketh man. Do you know what that means? Then let me teach you a lesson.
Thank you very much, sir. You're a gentleman and a scholar.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, I'm sorry. My mistake. That was a woman I was talking to.
Good morning, Chris.
What's up, man?
Not much. I've been up since way too early in the morning.
Yeah, and you were up way too late last night because you were with Nick and I last night on our Hawks Facebook post game. And by the way, I do want to let me give a little plug for that. Tomorrow night after game three, Nick and I will be back at it again on Facebook Live. We'd love to see you guys. We have a lot of fun, some interaction. Well, last night maybe wasn't a lot of fun. But normally it's been a lot of fun with the way this team has played in the playoffs. So, again, as soon as the game is over, head over to grab the phone, go to Facebook. Go to Facebook, 92.9 The Game's Facebook page, and you can, we interact. We'll take your comments on Facebook. We have a good time. Kenneth helps us out with that, and Nick and I we've had fun doing that this postseason. It's helped that the Hawks have been so stinking good too, but it's been fun. So I did want to mention that. So tomorrow night, come hang out with us for a little while after the Hawks game. We'll get your thoughts on it. What real quickly, Ken, before you get into your business here, give me your thoughts real quick on what you saw last night from that Hawks team.
Well, what I saw from the game, period, I saw Brooklyn make a lot of changes to the pick and roll with Trae Young. You saw Brook Lopez in game one, he was kind of deep in the paint on the pick and roll, which allowed Trae to get really deep in there, either float it or pass it off or a dunk. Brook Lopez came out to almost the three-point line to guard that, so it was hard for Trae Young to get in there, and those passing lanes underneath were all clogged up. I think there was a couple of missed times he tried to pass, and they kicked it, and it wasn't called, which led to a lot of fast breaks for them. We have to remember how Bud likes to play. He did the same thing here when he was in Atlanta. Whenever somebody shot a three from the other team, our team was when he was in Atlanta, we were already running down the floor trying to get transition points. That's the way he likes to play with that athletic team. Yep. The Bucks did. They played Budenholzer's ball last night, exact to perfection. As soon as we shot a long three and they got the rebound, it was like full court pass and a dunk or a layup. And we have to run out and cover those transitions so they don't get easy layups. Because half of those 20 points in that second quarter where they went on that 20-0 run were those transition points, easy layups.
Yep.
They got to stop that.
Yep, agree. All right, what you got for what's the frequency, Kenneth, today? Well,
first, let me ask you a question. Yep. How much stock do you put into Chris Sims?
I liked his dad. Let me start there. I enjoyed Phil Sims. I really did. Something about Chris Sims, man, just rubs me the wrong way.
Yeah, me too.
And I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's because he's so smug.
He's very smug, isn't he?
There's something about him that just, you know, and look, is the guy knowledgeable? Sure, he played the game. I get that. But, man, him and Mike Florio, they are just hard to stomach sometimes with the two of them together. There's so much smugness there. It's just, ooh.
I told Thomas I absolutely hate Chris Sims. I think Major Applewhite was a better quarterback than Chris Sims at Texas. and obviously Chris Sims spent a little while in the NFL, but he anywhere near the talent that his daddy has and even his daddy's pinky. And now he's in this media, you know, he's on NBC or whatever. And he just put out, because every year he puts out this top 40 QBs. And this list always rubs me the wrong way. Because I just think it's ridiculous. I don't know if you've seen this. Have you seen his top 40 quarterback list?
I saw a headline of it this week, but I did not click on it. To me, what he's doing is clickbait.
It is.
That's what I think it is. It's let me come up with some stuff. I'm going to target a couple of fan bases every year that I can rile them up, get them all ticked off at me, and this thing's going to get a whole bunch of clicks, and the folks at NBC will be really happy because they can sell a bunch of digital impressions behind how many times somebody clicked on a link. So, you know, that's my take on it. So I take it all with a grain of salt, let's say that.
Okay. I won't focus right now on the top of the list because it's kind of absurd. But let me go to the bottom of the list because I thought this was interesting and a little absurd. This guy, first off, Jalen Hurts doesn't make this list at all. Not on top 40 QB. Okay. But the people he has above Jalen Hurts.
Now keep in mind, there's only 32 teams in the NFL.
Sure. He has backups on here.
Right.
So, number 34, he has Tua. Okay. Number 35, he has Tyrod Taylor. 36, he has Marcus Mariota. And then listen to this next couple. Kellen Mond, who's not even going to start for the Vikings, is ahead of Trey Lance and Justin Fields. What is that? And number 40, ahead of Hurts or whoever else, is Case Keenum. Who? When's the last time we've seen Case Keenum do anything?
Wow, I didn't even know he was even still in the league.
Now, let me go back up top because I think it's more of Atlanta Falcons' disrespect. He is Matt Ryan, number 15, but he has Derek Carr, Baker Mayfield, Ryan Tannehill, Dak Prescott, Matthew Stafford ahead of Matt Ryan. None of those quarterbacks are better than Matt Ryan, in my opinion, especially Ryan Tannehill or Baker Mayfield or Derek Carr. And the second point, he has Tom Brady 10th on this list. 10th. He's saying Lamar Jackson, Kyler Murray are better quarterbacks than Tom Brady right now.
Yeah, who's willing to take that trade?
Nobody.
Who's willing to take that trade?
And off of Matthew Stafford's better than Tom Brady right now.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Again,
Cam Newton does make this list. He's at number 20. Right ahead of Garoppolo and Ben Roethlisberger.
And that's probably about right for Cam right now. Yeah, Cam is probably somewhere close to 20 if I were to rank him. Yeah, just going off the top of my head, that's probably about right for him.
Now, I'm not really mad with the middle because he has Taysom Hill and Jalen Wilson right next to each other, so whatever. But some of this stuff is Kellen Mond, 37th on this list. Come on, man. Come ahead of the number 3 quarterback taken, and the number 12 quarterback taken, Justin Fields, who's probably end up playing. Trey Lance may end up starting over there in San Francisco. Who knows? But this is ridiculous, man. I told Thomas earlier, it reminds me of the random dude that has a podcast down in his basement that releases a quarterback list. It's about sums it up for me. It's how it is. And this guy has NFL experience, and
I think somebody at NBC said, hey, I need you to put something together so we can get some clicks because we got to sell some digital advertising. So I hope that works for NBC.
Let me ask you this. The Braves whole year pretty much sucked.
Yep.
They're only five games out of first place in the NL East right now. Can you see the Braves somehow getting this together and making a run here?
Man, that's the reason why, Ken, every week when we go through our headlines and we always spend a little piece of time talking about the Braves, first thing I do is I want to go look at – I'll go to ESPN and I want to look at their splits. Mm-hmm. I want to see how did they fare over the last week. And in particular, those hitters. This Braves team is too talented at the plate for these guys to hit as poorly as they have hit this year. This is not who they are, okay? This is not who Freddie Freeman is. I don't know. Maybe it's this contract stuff with Freddie that people talk about with him. I don't think that's the case. I think Freddie Freeman is a – Freddie, to me, is a daggum pro, all right? Yeah. I just think Freddie's a pro. He's not – I don't buy that this is bothering him. I don't know what it is. I think he's just come out in a slump to start the year. But the fact that, you know, he has gone 9 for his last 28, given how poorly – I mean, this is a guy that's hitting the 230s, biggest part of this first half of the season. So the fact that we're starting to see him hit the ball, it's a good sign. That we're starting to see Ozzie hit the ball, good sign. I think the ceiling for Dansby is probably a 250 hitter.
Sure.
But he's a 250 hitter with a little bit of pop.
And
so
defense.
The fact that he's got 13 home runs and he's got a solid glove over there at short, that's fine. Those are the things that I keep looking for, because sooner or later these bats are going to snap out of it.
Yeah.
And when they do, that's when this team can make a run. Now, they still got issues on the pitching staff. There's still issues in the bullpen. They got to address some of that at the trade deadline. So can the Braves do this? Yes, they can. I'm not counting this team out by any stretch at all, but it is extremely frustrating because I think we all know how good this team should be, and they're not, and that's just frustrating as heck.
I think a lot of this in the NL East, with everybody kind of being under 500 and stuff like that, is the 60-game season last year. I think it kind of threw people out of whack, and now they're getting used to, okay, now we got to do 162 again.
I thought coming into this year that the National League – I thought the National League East would be the bear.
Right.
I mean, I thought the East would be – I thought we would be sitting here at the end of June, heading towards the 4th of July, talking about how the National League East is the best division in baseball, and instead it may be the worst. I don't think any of those teams are all that good.
No.
I really don't. Look, the Mets have got – well, one, can the Mets stay healthy? That's a big question mark for them. But I don't think – I don't buy the Phillies. I don't buy the Nationals. I don't buy the Marlins. So, I don't think any of these teams are all that good. I don't. To me, the best division in baseball for my money right now is probably the National League Central. I mean, I think yeah. Look, I think the Reds are pretty good. I think the Cardinals can make a run before this is over. The Cubs have been a surprise, and the Brewers are really talented. So I like what those guys have. And then same thing goes in the West, though. I mean, who saw the Giants being in first right now?
Right.
With a 4.5 game lead over the Dodgers. I didn't see that.
Real quick before we go. Saw Cam Reddish get some playing time last night. I told you last night, the more he played, the more of the old Cam he looked. He had a pep in his step. He brought energy. He played 20 minutes. Do you think somehow, because I think Solomon Hill has actually given you probably nothing hardly except for a little defense. Do you think Cam Reddish maybe take over that Solomon Hill role and be maybe the first or second guy off the bench now?
Yeah, I could see that. I think the fact that he played, 17 minutes
17?
Last
yeah.
night? I think that's a key. That's a good sign then that, hey, we got him out there. He got some minutes. He got on the floor. How was he feeling last night when the game was over? How was he feeling this morning when the plane touched down here in Atlanta? How does he feel when he shows up for his treatment and workout and watch film today at the Hawks facility? If he's feeling good, and he feels like, and I still think they're going to kind of manage his minutes a
yeah.
little bit. I mean, the guy didn't play for 4 months.
Right.
And he still, as far as any of us knew, unless he did 5-on-5 Thursday, Last night was the first time he had played 5-on-5.
It was. Nate said that.
Okay. See, I missed that. Nate said, I know earlier in the week, Nate had said that he had done some 2-on-2 and some 3-on-3, but he had not played 5-on-5 before. So it was, again, it was good to get him back out there, get him acclimated again. Now, you know, hey, if he can give you 17 minutes a game off the bench, I'm good with that.
Yeah,
I'm good with it.
I think he's, because before he went out, he was that guy off the bench that brought the energy. And I think if he can do that, he may can be able to light a fire under the second unit when he comes in on the defensive end.
Yeah. I'm good with that. If that's what we, if that's the way he ends up being used, I'm perfectly fine with that for the rest of this series. All right, thank you very much, Kenneth. We're going to hear more from Kenneth. We're going to get to our five Falcons questions. Normally, I pose these questions to the former Falcon and Harry Douglas, but with Harry off traveling the globe now, Ken is going to ask me some Falcons questions. We're going to get into that. We go all NFL during the 11 o'clock hour. We'll get back to the Hawks and your calls during the noon hour. Hang on, back with more in a minute. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.